Verse 10, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I've received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Who can believe this is the last Sunday of the summer? Next Sunday we begin our autumn series on the life of Moses. And we move back to our normal time of 10:30 in Kilrae and 12 noon in Monadig. But today we're thinking about the last of our Facebook verses, which happens to be another example from one of Paul's letters. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13, we've just read it. As with much of the content on Facebook, this verse is usually taken out of context, and it's turned into little more than a self-help slogan. We post it as an encouragement that we can overcome, to do something big and challenging. This verse has become the encouragement we need to achieve greatness. But I wonder, is this what Paul has been teaching us? The book of Philippians was written by Paul while in a Roman prison. It's a letter to the church in Philippi. And the theme of the letter is partnership in the gospel, which includes being partners in suffering for the gospel. And in his letter, Paul gives us an example of what this partnership might look like. He thanks the Philippian church for the gift that they'd sent with Epaphroditus. We can only assume that it was a gift of either money or food or clothing, as prisoners were expected to provide for themselves in prison. Paul wouldn't have received prison clothes or meals. He would have relied on outside support. And he highlighted the importance of this support in verses 15 and 16 when he said, "Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need." Paul is clear. Partnership in the gospel is a very practical matter. And after such an emphatic commendation, we might well be expecting Paul to express his thanks. what he actually said might be seen by some as him being ungrateful. For in verse 17, he begins, "Not that I desire these gifts." While Paul was grateful for his partnership with the church in Philippi, he wasn't seeking a one-sided partnership. Today, whenever churches form partnerships, especially when those partnerships involve a wealthy Western church and a poverty-stricken church, there is a concern, usually among the wealthy, that this partnership will be a one-way financial relationship, that it becomes more of a donor-recipient relationship rather than a partnership. But Paul continued in verse 17. "Not that I desire gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account." Paul is seeking mutual benefits. Yes, he's well supplied. Yes, he has benefited from this partnership, but these gifts have also been received and seen by God. And he used that Old Testament sacrificial language to describe the gifts as a fragrant offering and an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God in verse 18. You see, partnership, even a financial partnership like this one, is part of our worship and submission to God. That's why our offering is so important. Paul is making clear that God is just as pleased with the Philippian church for standing with Paul as he is with Paul for being obedient even unto prison. And it appears that the gifts that the church in Philippi sent were no small matter. It wasn't a token partnership. It had cost the church enough for Paul to say, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus," in verse 19. It's worth noting how similar this statement is to verse 13. "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." Far from encouraging us or motivating us onto greatness, Paul is teaching that it is when we partner sacrificially in the gospel that God strengthens and provides. Now, does this mean that we will never go without? Well, we only have to take a cursory look at Paul's life, and in truth, we don't have to look far beyond our church doors to see how many good Christian folk go without for many different reasons. And the key to understanding how Paul was able to say, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength," is found in verse 11. "I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstance." Contentment can be misunderstood. For some, contentment is complacency. They put their head in the sand and they hope that the problem will go away or it just won't happen. But that wasn't Paul, because he knew exactly what lay ahead. In Acts 20, verse 23, we read him saying, "I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me." The word contentment comes from the Greek for contained. When Greek philosophers used the word contentment, they were describing someone who was self-contained or self-sufficient. In Greek writing, a contented person was someone who was able to deal with any problem by themselves. Contentment in Paul's letter is not about his ability to cope with prison or with the beatings, but Christ in him, allowing him to cope. Paul is not saying that he is self-sufficient, but Christ-sufficient. God's strength is not about greatness. It's not even about doing things that we could never have done before. It's simply about being able to cope. And it's worth noting this was not something Paul found easy. He didn't have his Damascus Road experience, and suddenly he was able to cope with everything that was coming his way. He said, I have learned to be content. It was through the beatings, it was through prison, it was through the accusations and the opposition, it was through the support of churches such as this one in Philippi, Paul learned to be content. But he learned to trust in God. And this is important for us to understand. Whenever we become Christians, we are not transformed overnight. We don't become a Christian on a Sunday and then on a Monday suddenly we have this supernatural ability to trust God in all circumstances. But rather God is gracious and he teaches us. We learn to trust. We learn to be content. We learn that we can do all things through him who gives us strength. So what does this mean for us today? Well, it's very unlikely that we will face prison or beatings because of our faith in Jesus Christ. No matter how hostile we think society is becoming to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are a long way from someone knocking on our door and dragging us away or threatening our families unless we disown Christ. We do, however, live in a world full of need. And we are called to partner in the gospel, just as the church in Philippi partnered with Paul. Paul talked about the Philippian offerings being a fragrant and acceptable sacrifice to God. He talked in terms of the Old Testament sacrifices. He was saying that the offerings were very much part of our worship of God. And it's worth remembering that those Old Testament sacrifices were to be the best bulls from the herd, the finest portion of the harvest, the best of the baked bread from the finest of flour. They were to be the first fruits. In other words, God had first call on everything. Our offering and our partnership in the gospel are to be the same. God is to have first call on the very best we have to offer from every part of life. And that includes our time, our money, our talents, our love, our compassion, our service. The hurdle we often have the most difficulty in getting over when it comes to gospel partnerships in this way is the idea that if we give too much away, then we won't have enough to do the things that we feel need to be done at home, or that are important to us. We worry about being financially stable and secure, and maybe even as this reviewable 10-year process starts to kick in, we become more worried about that. That rainy day might just be around the corner, and so we'd better keep something left over just in case. And while we should maintain good stewardship of all that God has given us, that should not be used as an excuse for not being generous in our partnerships. Good stewardship is about more than good savings. Good stewardship is about learning to be content so that we can trust God in order that He will supply all of our needs. Remember, though, that the context of supplying our needs is sacrificial partnership for the sake of the gospel. When we talk about God providing our needs, it's not that He'll provide us necessarily with a new roof or a new carpet or anything else that we might need. I read this week about a televangelist who was using these verses to justify appealing for his followers to help fund his new private jet. This celebrity evangelist claimed he needed the plane to take the gospel all over the world. Fine sentiments, except that it flies in the face of what Paul was teaching the church in Philippi. This goes beyond extravagant celebrities. It speaks to how I live my life. It challenges our lifestyle and the choices that we make about our finances, the cars we drive, the houses we live in, the bank balances we maintain, the time that we give, the commitment that we offer. When Jesus said, "Come follow me," He meant in every part of life. And that can be uncomfortable. The challenge of I can do all this through Him who gives me strength is that we are being called to be content enough in Christ in order that we would actually do all things. That we would be content enough that nothing would be off limits. When Paul talks about God supplying our needs, he's not necessarily talking about our material needs, although God is more than capable of supplying material needs. He's talking about supplying our needs in order that we would continue partnering with others. Paul is saying if we learn to give sacrificially, that God will ensure we will continue to be able to give sacrificially. Now that might mean we go without something, but that we continue being able to give. You see, God is not promising greatness through Christ, but He is promising that we can be part of great partnerships. Partnerships that not only help struggling churches and Christians, but teach us what it means to be content in Christ. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank You for the many blessings You have bestowed upon us. When we look at the world around us, we have so much in comparison to so many other people. Father, forgive us that for that tendency we might have to put our trust in what You have given rather in You, the one who has given. Lord, teach us what it means to be content in Christ in order that we would give what we have. teach us what it means to give practically, to give money. But Lord, teach us also what it means to give of ourselves, to be willing to stand with people who are hurting, to put an arm around people who are crying, to hurt with people who carry burdens that we just can't imagine. To pray with people who need our prayer. Lord, make us good partners. This we ask in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.